Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We live in a time of wars and rumors of wars. If one nation is invading another nation, an act of espionage is often seen as a prelude to war. We live in a time, having just seen a global pandemic that disrupted global supply chains, resulting in disruptions to food availability, and the avian flu, which saw incredible spikes in egg prices. In other parts of the world, war threatens the future availability for food. Most recently, a few days ago, and at least once during each of the past few decades, there have been massive earthquakes that have caused tremendous damage to property and loss of life. Taking a look at the world in which we live, it is hard to overlook any of these events. For those who know the Bible, it gives us pause to consider what will happen in the future as we read passages of prophecy in the Bible, which come with fantastic imagery and foreshadowing of horrible times to come. When we look at prophecy, there are books that have a greater focus on prophecy. In the Old Testament, there are distinct prophetic books. In the New Testament, the book of Revelation also has a distinct prophetic tone. The imagery that John uses to describe end time events links what he saw in his vision using words and concepts he understood. Aside from how John recorded what he saw in his vision, we don't know for sure exactly what John saw. Imagine John's dilemma if he saw some future invention and he did his best to describe it. Imagine the dilemma you would have if you looked into the future and saw some future technology that had not yet been invented and it was wholly unlike anything you had seen before. You would have a hard time describing exactly what you saw. In some cases, John used imagery that can give the reader pause to consider if what John saw will literally or figuratively happen. If things happen literally, they will happen exactly as written. And if things happen figuratively, things will still happen, though what is written is not an exact representation of what will happen. Let's take a look at the use of language in Revelation 13, starting with verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. John describes a beast coming out of the earth with two horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon. If this literally happens, then at this future time, an actual beast with two actual horns like a lamb will speak as a dragon. If this figuratively happens in the future, what John described will happen, though what we see happening may look different than the actual words John uses. From John's writings, we know this beast is the second of two beasts, the first beast having a deadly wound that was healed, and that the second beast exercises all of the power of the first beast before him, causing all to worship the first beast. This second beast has the ability to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. When I think of fire going through the air, I think of what a military flamethrower does. Though if it is fire coming down from heaven, it leaves room to consider if it will be a flaming asteroid or something else altogether. While we do not know exactly how this fire that comes down from heaven on the earth will look, we do know, as a result, the people of earth will be deceived because the second beast will do all of this in the sight of the first beast and will tell people to make an image to the first beast. This second beast will seemingly bring to life that image of the first beast, giving it the ability to speak and having enough control over the people to order the deaths of those who do not worship that first beast. Verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. As a control and sign of obedience and loyalty to the image of the first beast, this second beast will cause all people to receive a mark in their right hand, to participate in the economy, to buy or sell anything. Everyone will need either that mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Then John tells us to count the number of the beast, that it is the number of a man, the number 666, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he have that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. From John's writings, we know a mark will be required of all, but we do not know exactly how or what that mark will be. Many reading this see an embedded chip, and yet we do not know exactly what John saw, just that as he recorded it as a mark. That mark that is to be in the right hand or forehead uses a similar principle as what is found in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The people were to bind the commandments as a sign on their hand and to be like a sweatband for their forehead. Taken literally, people will be accessorizing themselves, and if taken figuratively, people will think and act by the commandments. Maybe for the beast, people will be required to accessorize with a chip, or maybe they might be required to think and act by the edicts of the beast, and that people who do not do this will be effectively excluded from economic participation during this time. Getting back to Revelation, we are then given imagery from a slightly later time when the rule of the beast is coming to an end. Another angel is seen by John flying through the midst of heaven, and this angel has that everlasting gospel to preach to any person, anywhere, no matter what, and at this future time tells people to fear God because the time of judgment has arrived. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and to kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Another angel follows, proclaiming the fall of the great city Babylon, and a third angel follows, explaining that all who have taken the mark of the beast and worship the beast in his image will suffer punishment from God. verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Contrasted to those who worship the beast are the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Those who worship the beast have the mark of the beast, and those who are the saints keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This future time will be a time of stark contrast between the people who worship the beast and the image of the beast and the people who worship God and keep the faith of Jesus. But exactly how all of this will look in the future, we don't know, because we have a similar problem that John had. When John recorded this information from his vision, he saw something in that vision, and using words that he knew, he described future events using language unlike anything he saw in his life. We have to use that imagery written by John to study what will happen in the future. That imagery of what will happen in the future may or may not be an exact match to what we know about our world today. Other imagery used in Revelation shows a scarlet-colored beast, those associated with it who also give their strength and power to the beast while bringing harm to the faithful. These will make war with Jesus, and Jesus will defeat them. And because the leaders of the nations will have given their power to the beast, Jesus will be defeating all nations. Only those who are with Jesus will be spared this fate. And who are these people who are with Jesus? Those who are called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and do agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. If we are alive at this future and horrific time, to be with Jesus, we have to be called, chosen, and faithful. And we believe that to be our situation at this time. In the future, we must remain as the called, chosen, and faithful, meaning we do not abandon our faith to become aligned to what is described as the mark of the beast. We have to endure faithfully to the end. In addition to the book of Revelation, Matthew 24 is seen as a chapter of prophecy, a chapter that starts with Jesus explaining that the temple would be destroyed, which did happen. And the concept of the temple being destroyed troubled the disciples that they wanted to know when that would happen and what would be the sign of his return and the end of the world. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The very first thing Jesus told them was to exercise caution, that no person be able to deceive them. Jesus did not warn them to avoid deceptions about the beast, but to avoid people who deceive people by teaching about Jesus, showing many will be deceived. Jesus taught that many who think that they are keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus are deceived. And if we are deceived, when that second beast forces the mark of the beast on all mankind, those who are deceived will probably be deceived with that as well. Jesus also cautioned about overreacting to wars, times of troubles between nations, and natural disasters. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus then showed that those who are faithful will suffer and be hated, and that many false prophets will rise and deceive many, with only those who endure to the end being saved. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Jesus then referenced the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Daniel wrote that because of the overspreading of abominations, desolation will occur. When that which is an abomination stands in the holy place, then it is urgent for all who are in Judea to flee to the mountains. We don't know exactly what this future abomination will be, but we do know when the Bible uses the word abomination, it references any distortion or perversion of the truth of God. At this future time, this distortion or perversion of the truth of God will be so pervasive, it will be standing in the holy place instead of the truth of God. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. During this time, many will claim to know where Jesus is, and many will claim to be the returned Messiah, and more will be false prophets who will be able to show great signs and wonders that are so incredible that it would seem like they should be able to deceive those who are called, chosen, and faithful. Jesus then tells us that his return will be as easy to see as the rising sun. Verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall be false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately following the great tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, likely showing a time when a solar eclipse occurs at the time of a new moon or in conjunction with a lunar eclipse. It is then that the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, and Jesus returns in the clouds as he ascended, and those who are called, chosen, and faithful are gathered from around the world. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus then shared with the disciples that when we see these things happening, we know that the end is very near. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus then compared his second coming to the days of Noah, how nobody except for Noah and his family were ready for the flood, and everyone else perished. For all who are not part of the called, chosen, and faithful, the odds of surviving will be 50-50. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. The called, chosen, and faithful are told to watch, to be vigilant, because we do not know exactly when Jesus will return, and should expect to return when we least expect it. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The called, chosen, and faithful will be continuing to do what is expected of them even during this time of trouble, and will not grow weary in their faith awaiting the return of Jesus. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The called, chosen, and faithful will be spiritually prepared for the return of Jesus. They will not be cut off guard when Jesus returns. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The called, chosen, and faithful will be growing spiritually. Each of us enter the faith with baptism and laying on of hands, and yet we are all given unique spiritual gifts. We can either take the spiritual gifts we have been given and lock them up to secure them, or we can use the spiritual gifts we have been given to grow and develop these spiritual gifts. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he had also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The called, chosen, and faithful will also consider the needs of others and help as they are able, without any thought given to if these good deeds will curry favor with God and Jesus. Those who are not called, chosen, and faithful will only consider good deeds in light of how it makes them look spiritually. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous and that life eternal. Yet is through faith that the called, chosen, and faithful are justified. We know it is through faith we have access to forgiveness of sin. And in a chaotic and confusing world, this faith that leads to forgiveness of sin brings us peace and eventually helps us to circle back to hope and faith. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The called, chosen, and faithful, never surrender, abandoning the faith, and return to a life of sin. Even though we have difficulties in the life we have, we never lose the confidence we have in our faith, that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will have access to eternal life, knowing that eternal life is of much greater value than our physical life. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. When we face extreme difficulty in our life, we can take comfort in the example of the life of David and the words he wrote in Psalm 35. Let's start with verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself, and to that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. The called, chosen, and faithful never surrender the faith. They maintain hope for things they have not seen. They maintain a future focus on eternal life, the kingdom of God, and God's righteousness through hope and not sight, and patiently wait for the promise to come, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are also called according to God's purpose. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The called, chosen, and faithful never surrender the faith and live a life based on hope, not sight, looking to the future, eternal life, the kingdom of God, and God's righteousness. All that is yet to come in biblical prophecy is also part of that hope that we have. When others see the Great Tribulation as a time of incredible despair, we know that the Great Tribulation comes right before the return of Jesus. When others worship the image of the beast, taking the name of the beast, and receiving the mark of the beast, the called, chosen, and faithful know that comes right before the return of Jesus Christ. When others see natural disasters, war and diseases, and fear death, the called, chosen, and faithful know that just as the first signs of a budding tree show summer is near, these tell us the return of Jesus Christ is approaching. And in all of this, the called, chosen, and faithful will know prophecy because it is part of the Bible, and will use that knowledge not in a futile attempt to know the exact time when Jesus will return, but to serve as an urgent reminder to never surrender the faith and return to sin, so that at the return of Jesus Christ, the called, chosen, and faithful will be found doing what is spiritually expected of them. We, brethren, are the called, chosen, and faithful. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.